Morning. Thank you that I can be here this morning with you guys. Jaco just asked me to come and share a word, and this morning I'm going to share a word that the Lord gave me for what I believe is for the larger Bride of Christ, not just Shofar, not just Shofar Cape Town, not just Shofar Century City, but for all of us as the Bride of Christ. And So I've entitled my sermon, "We Are Blessed." And it's always great to know that you're hearing the right from the Lord when the songs that's chosen fits in exactly to the sermon. So as a pastor or as a preacher, it's always encouragement when you go, "Thank you, Lord, I'm not alone in this." And that I am hearing your voice. So even for people up in front, it's always encouragement. So thank you for the song choice this morning, that new song, that prophetic song. I really believe is spot on. It really is a prophetic word for this season. If you'll give me a few seconds just to set up, I'm going to start by asking us a question. So the question needs to be answered by all of us, and the answer is either this, this, or this. All right, and I hope we're all on the same page of knowing what this means, and this means. All right. So, how have you been experiencing this year? This, this, or this? So on the count of three, one, two, three. All right, a few thumbs up, a few thumbs in the middle. All right, brilliant. No thumbs down. Okay. I must admit, I think I started like this and it feels like it's going more and more down. 2015 is a year that's been a little bit different than what most people thought it would be. We all thought it's going to be an awesome year, a great year, and it just seems that this year has been faster than any other year. Now, I know everyone says that every year, but it truly does seem to be moving in that direction where it's just a real year that hit the tar really fast. Work's been crazy, what I've been hearing from a lot of people. Life's been crazy. Things have been going really right and things have been going really wrong. And trying to get this laptop of mine to start and it doesn't seem to want to work with me this morning. Ah, good morning. It even sings when it starts. It's great. All right. This morning we're going to be sharing out of the book of Jonah. And I think I'm actually going to read the entire book of Jonah this morning so we can be on all the same page. When I gave the sermon in the beginning of the year at Gardens, I'd read the story so many times over and over and over that I forgot that everyone else hadn't. So I was speaking to everyone as if they'd just freshly read it. And that's always a sin of being up in front, the sin of presumption, when you presume people are exactly where you are. And I mean, we all hear from God, so we've all been reading Jonah the whole of December holiday. So why wouldn't you have read it and be on the same page? So I'm going to read this morning the story of Jonah. And then I'm going to get to the word that God actually gave me. So I'm going to do it the other way around this morning. So please, if we can leave it right there. As my laptop still seems to want to warm up. So if you have your Bibles, and you can just turn to the book of Jonah. It's more towards the end of the Old Testament. And then I'm going to run through a little bit of Jonah, who was Jonah, how he fits in, and the story of Jonah. But let's start in the Word. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come come before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish, which is in Spain, from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid a fare and went down into it and went from the presence of the Lord. So we see where Jonah, the Lord comes and speaks to him and gives him a very specific word, a very specific thing that he wants to do. So instead of going east, he went west. And this place, Tarshish, is as far as the civilized world at that moment had gone, was as far to the west that he could go. So literally God had said, go to Nineveh, and this guy decides, no. So basically it's like saying, the Lord saying to you, sitting in the middle of South Africa, there in Kimberley or somewhere out there, and the Lord says, go to Cape Town. And you go, I'm going to Johannesburg. All right, I'm going there. Maybe the other way around, because everyone wants to come to Cape Town. So I'm going to Cape Town. I'm not going to Johannesburg. God's calling me to Johannesburg, and there's no way I'm going to Johannesburg. And we'll get just now to the reason why Jonah was like this. What made Jonah flee? But let's carry on the story. Verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, and that ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and they cried out to their gods, and threw the cargo out of the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest part of the ship and laid down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, what does this mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us, so that we may not perish. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know that for whose cause and trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. Isn't it very interesting that that however they did the lots in those days, they got the lotto number right? And it's something that I really need us to also realize, that often we think it is a bit of a lotto and it just perhaps by mistake fell on Jonah. But in those days, there was a lot of witchcraft in their worship and very powerful things. And with divination, it was able to fall exactly on Jonah. And it was obviously Jonah's fault. Just a little side note there. And then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and what people are you? So he said to them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then he said to them, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was throwing more viciously. Then he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know this is a great tempest, is because of me. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard and to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleases you. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. All right. Let's leave it there. Verse 2 starts going into Jonah's prayer between the Lord. It took him 3 days before he started praying. And he actually started praying to the Lord and pleading with the Lord and speaking to the Lord. And at the end of verse 2, we see that he actually got spat out by this fish that swallowed him up. And then he decided to go to Nineveh. Can we put up that map? Can we go to the map, please? What's really interesting about the story of Jonah is, I was last yesterday at a party, an engagement party, and I was speaking to this one doctor, And he asked me, what am I preaching on? So I said, basically, I'm preaching on the book of Jonah. And he said a very interesting thing, a guy that really knows the Lord, serves the Lord, and loves the Lord. He said, you know, a lot of people don't believe in the story of Jonah. It's a fable, it's a story that's just told, but it's actually not a true story. But there's a big problem with that. And I'm going to tell you what the main problem is. Maybe two problems. Is one, that all scripture is inspired by God, therefore God is a liar. But what's worse than that is that Jesus himself is a liar, because Jesus himself said that the only sign that they would receive in that time is the sign of Jonah. So then Jesus also believed in a myth, which means that he was not all-knowing and was not God. So we have to look at that. Now, when I was a kid, I always saw it that this fish sort of spat him out into Nineveh. And if you look at the map, you'll see that Nineveh, that was the road, that was where Israel, here at the bottom, where the ship would have gone. And you'll notice that Nineveh is quite a long walk from where he would have gotten back to land. So that the fish would have spat him out. And it was a long walk and a long time for Jonah to go and think about what God was saying, what God was doing, where God is going. But to tell you a little bit about Nineveh, because who was Nineveh? What was Nineveh? At that time, we first introduced into Jonah, and finally my laptop is working with me. We first read about Jonah in Chronicles, if I remember right. Kings. Jonah was a prophet in the time, and he prophesied that King Jeroboam II would take power. And what is interesting, if we can go to that slide there. What is interesting about the name of Jonah, Jonah actually means dove. Dove meaning peace. Dove is also the way that the Holy Spirit came on. The Holy Spirit looked like a dove, came like a dove, and came onto Jesus. And the name means peace. And then in those scriptures, as I was speaking about, Jesus also speaks about the fact that when he speaks to the Pharisees, when they were asking him for a sign, he said, no sign will be given except for the sign of Jonah, meaning being died for 3 days and be raised from that. And a very powerful and interesting thing is that Jonah was a prophet, but the book of Jonah is totally different than all the books of the prophets. You see, he was the fifth of the 12 minor prophets. And what happens is normally it's an utterance. So prophetic writing is an utterance from God. This is what God says. If you read Jeremiah, if you read Isaiah, and the other books of the prophet, it's more the word of what God says. But the focus of Jonah is totally different. The focus of Jonah is, this is the story. It's written in like the history. So like, so you read the history of Jonah. Now, the kingdom that was reigning in that time was the Assyrians. And later on, Nineveh became the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And the Assyrians were really, really, really evil people. They were more evil than the Babylonians who had reigned before them, because the Assyrians were more bloodthirsty. They liked to kill people more, where the Babylonians weren't that much in the actual murdering. They were more into the serving of the gods. So we find that the Assyrians were incredible warriors. If I remember correctly, they're actually the guys that started the war with camels. So they realized that a camel is a great weapon to be used in warfare. And so they were a really evil empire. And what we see in the time of Israel is that Jeroboam was a very evil king. It was a prosperous time in Israel, and he started using the prosperity for himself. And believe it or not, this is an encouraging sermon. So let's get to the encouraging sermon. The word that the Lord gave me in December last year was twofold, two words that he dropped in my spirit. And the first word was favor. For the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. 1 John 1:16, which is speaking about God's favor. If that slide we can put up, the one with the guy with his hands in the sky. And the Lord said to me that 2015 is going to be a great year of favor. And the second word that the Lord laid on my heart was, or in my spirit, was freedom. We all know the scripture, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I remember when I gave this word to the church in Gardens, I found myself saying that many people in the congregation will actually find so much favor that they will find that their jobs will change, they'll be promoted in the workplace. And I sort of went home and I remember saying that, and I was like, Lord, ooh, hallelujah, I hope I'm right. Because it's just one of those things that blurted out, and I found myself, as the words came out, I was trying to still grab them back and going, ooh, Bernie, you're becoming a health and wealth, prosperity preacher. But the funny thing is, it's only March now, and I know of four people in our congregation that have already been, that has exactly happened to them. The Lord actually gave them, out of season, unexpectedly, just gave them a better job, a higher job, put them in management positions, etc., etc. So the encouraging thing this year is that the Lord has favor for us and he has freedom for us this year. And it's something that Jonah did not understand. It's something that Jonah could not grasp. You see, why does the Lord give us freedom and why does the Lord give us favor? You see, if the only thing that you're holding on to for the freedom and the favor that the Lord has for you, that it's for me, then we're going to miss it like Jeroboam missed it. We're going to miss it like Jonah missed it. You see, Jonah didn't understand that God's heart was for the unsaved. His heart was for the Assyrians. See, going back to Jesus died not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. Jonah was a prophetic voice beforehand that actually went to the Gentiles, speaking of the Messiah to one day that would come, that God's heart is as much for the Gentiles as it is for the Jews. And it was a hard thing for him to snap in his mind. We see in verse chapter 4 how he actually moans with God. And he says to God, I don't get this, God. I knew that you, the reason I didn't come in the first place, because I knew you were going to be merciful. I knew you were going to be kind and good to these people. And that's verse 2, if I remember right. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I have left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran to Spain. I mean, who wouldn't want to go to Spain? I knew that you are merciful and compassionate, God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted did not happen. You see, he was more worried about his reputation as a prophet than he was about God's heart. And so often we miss the Lord's heart when he endows his gifts to us, his good gifts. Because the first thing we think about is ourselves. We think about, I got a raise, which means I can get a better car. I got a raise, I can now start looking at buying a house, or getting a second car, or putting more in my RA. The first thought when God prospers us is ourselves. The reason the Lord gives us gifts and talents is so much more to reach and use it to further his kingdom. You see, the Lord can only give us a certain amount and entrust us with a certain amount. And then he sees how we respond. All right, Bernie, I'm going to give you a raise. and you go, awesome. And he sees how you respond to that. And then he gives you a little bit more and a little bit more. But always watching your heart as he walks with you. And it's really incredible that the people that have received the work, those jobs, two of them that I know of, really, really, really struggled with the Lord with it because they didn't want it. They said to the Lord, I don't want the responsibility. I don't want all of this. But when they seeked and prayed God, God said, this is what I want for you. So their first thought was not about themselves, but more the lack that they had. And the ability to just go, I can't do this unless you partner with me. You see, God always wants us walking in faith. Always, always walking in faith. There's a level where God wants us to be able to walk in a place that we can't walk by ourselves. It is quite something to have to be a prophet to go and speak in Nineveh, the darkest, most evil place in the world. Nineveh became the capital of the Assyrians, and it was dark. It was literally Sodom and Gomorrah of the day. It was an evil, evil place. Yet one prophet marching through the place, preaching for 3 days, got an entire city to repent. That is really amazing. That would be like me taking 3 days to walk through Century City and through the mall and through all the businesses. And by 3 days, everyone's in sackcloth and ashes and repenting. All right, I don't know if you've noticed, there's quite some powerful companies based here in Century City. That would be really incredible. To have all the CEOs repenting and fasting. They even made the animals fast. Okay? So Boo Boo back at home doesn't get any food. And Kitty and all our favorite animals and the hamster and the parrot, they all had to fast. That's how serious they were in turning from this. That's how powerful the word was that God had given this prophet, Jonah, to speak. And yet, Jonah, seeing this entire nation change, this entire city change their hearts to God and repent, has a problem with it. Because he doesn't have the heart of God. He has the heart of it after himself. He's more worried that his prophecy comes to be correct. Because most of the time, if we're honest as Christians, there's that one or two people that really irritate us. And we wouldn't mind if God would come and shake their boat a little and just teach him a lesson. For me at the moment, we live in gardens and we've been blessed with an incredible amount of street people, homeless people. And these homeless people really enjoy looking after our cars at night. And to the point of harassment. And my wife's my witness, I lose my salvation probably this week, this last few weeks. I got to a point where I just couldn't anymore. Because this guy just comes and harasses you. And he's like, yeah, I look after your car every night. And this is how you treat me. You don't give me anything. And I'm about to turn around and give him like a full sermon. Thus saith the Lord. You know, and you can see how the lightning from the heavens come down and this man is just gone. The problem is that that's not God's heart for him. And that's the reason why I didn't say anything. Because God's heart is for everyone. God's heart is for that homeless person to come off the street. That's his heart. And we have to go and plug ourselves into God's heart to be able to understand the things he's given us. There's two things that God's going to do in your life this year. It's going to be that he's going to prosper you. There's going to be favor. And there's going to be freedom. Now the freedom one is a bit of a difficult one. You see, the Lord brought freedom to the Assyrians so that they could repent. Because God used the Assyrians to humble the Israelites. Because they didn't want to repent. And the freedom that the Lord has for us will mean that there's a deliverance that he wants to bring. And deliverance is often not a nice process. It's not an easy thing. It means we have to let go of the things that are in our heart that are evil, that we hold on to. And this year, the Lord has been, it's been a really interesting year. The one night, Matty and I, it's been a really rough year, and we finally got date night. So I owe my wife about 14 or 17 date nights for this year already. And we've been just working crazy hours. I'm also involved with disaster management, so we've been in Malawi organizing with the floods that they've been in Malawi. So it's literally been two jobs keeping me busy. And so we finally get a date night. And we're sitting at the V&A and overlooking the view, and it's beautiful. And my phone rings on a Friday night. Now, normally I wouldn't answer, but the guy that's phoning, I know, is not someone that naturally phoned me. You know, he's not a guy that would phone me on a Friday night. So I pick up the phone and I immediately say, "Hey, buddy, if you're phoning me, something's wrong." And he says, "Yes, something's majorly wrong." Long story short, we had to go and minister to someone in the church that night, and it actually turned up into a deliverance. And it was not a nice thing. It was not an easy thing. This person was short of being suicidal, and there was a full-on manifestation. And we could go and bring deliverance for that evening for her. But what was so amazing was that in all of this craziness, God came and met her. And that the Lord could come and just take her out of that place and say that my heart is for you. I'm going to take you out of the darkness. And that's what the Lord wants this year for each one of us. So part of the reason why this year seems to be spinning out of hand for a lot of us, we're so busy, so many things happening, is because God's getting us into a place where we're uncomfortable. Because we as Christians enjoy being comfortable. And in that uncomfortability that the Lord has put us in, he's going to start bringing us deliverance. Because you know what? When life is perfect, you are not tested. You're not tested in the places where waar dit begin krap, when it starts to scratch, when it starts getting uneasy, when you can actually go and sit down and go, Lord, I'm actually not in a good space. I'm actually not such a wonderful person as I claim to be or think I am. Please come and work in my life. And so all this busyness that the Lord's been putting me through this year has started to show me how flawed my character is, how far I am from God in many areas of my life. And it's not something that you have to go, okay, woe is me, I'm undone. It is just a moment where you can go before the Lord and say, Lord, I want freedom in this area. And so if your expectation, if you put out your faith this year, the Lord's going to come and take us into places of freedom, and the Lord's going to come bringing us that favor. Because you know what? God wants to do something. So we were praying as staff about what God wants us to do, and the Lord has started saying that we need to, as the church, be more relevant to the unchurched. We need to be more in people's space. And we realized that 99% of the time, we're so much around Christians that the only time we're around un-Christians is at work, but it's all about work, and then we go home, and then we're either with the family, or our friends, or a good movie, and that's all exposure we get. We don't really actually get into the space of the unchurched. So we started being praying at gardens, and the Lord started to give us a few things. He started showing in cell how our focus needs to be to reach people. And it was a very simple thing, organize a braai. So many people live in complexes in Cape Town. So in your complex, organize a braai or organize something. And so people have been starting to put out their faith. The one guy, for instance, he's on the body corporate of the building that he lives in. And it's given him space to start being able to minister. A very simple thing. But yet still stepping out in faith. So we as the staff started praying and said, well, Lord, we too need to reach the unsaved or the unchurched. People that don't know you, how do we do that? And the Lord gave us an idea which we then called Cape Quest. And what Cape Quest is, it's very similar to Amazing Race. It's a bunch of people running through Cape Town, going to different places, doing different things. And we put this whole thing together. The Lord put the right people. I just prayed. I said, Lord, I don't have time to do this all by myself. Give me the right team. And the Lord gave me two people, Marius and Wendy. And Marius and Wendy just made this thing happen. Just incredible. And we were able to get 80 people that we don't normally reach. We're running around Cape Town, driving like hooligans, flipping cars and breaking necks. And it was just amazing. But just what God did was to bring a bridge between the church and the unchurched. When a lot of people arrived, I remember this one girl, she's like, is here a kerk thing? Is this a church thing? And I don't know if I'm so happy about this thing being a church thing. And are all the church people going to win all the prizes? You know, that was her questions. She walked off with something like four prizes. She like won every spot prize that could be won. Was incredible. So luckily I could tell her no and I could prove it. But it was amazing how people came to us and said, wow, we didn't realize the church could be so cool, that church people could be so cool. We didn't realize that it can be so professional. We didn't realize that it can be so amazing. And all we did was plan for one day, one event. So we're very excited to grow this thing from here, and we're going to make it bigger. And next year we want to have more teams, more people to be able to write in. We've got a million people following us. Feels like a million people following us on Facebook. The reason I say so, because I've been tagged in. You start a page, a Facebook page, for those that are my age and older. You have this Facebook page, and every time there's a photo and someone likes it, Facebook feels it's important to tell you that. So Facebook is like all day speaking to me. So that's also another place that God's probably testing me and telling me how everyone is loving. And it's been 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, and still everyone's still loving their photos and putting up photos. And this thing is amazing that when you slot into God and you hear His plan for you, what He can do. You see, God will always speak to you and say, go and do something. He spoke to us and said, go do Cape Quest. And we did Cape Quest and was blessed. But if we were disobedient and we decided we'd rather going to Spain to go run with the bulls, the Lord would have had to come and speak to us to get back into His heart. So I really believe that for the church, often we're in a place where we're not hearing God right, or we're not seeing the fruits in our lives because God said something and we're doing something else. And if you can understand that the reason God wants you to go to Nineveh is if you get an entire city to repent and turn to God, that's not bad to be a preacher. That's Reinhard Bonnke style. I mean, that is amazing. I really wish I could go through Century City within 3 days and have a church of probably 100,000 people, how many ever people work here in the Century City area. I mean, that is very successful. That is incredible. But you have to have God's heart to understand that. And that's the basic, simple message that I have this today. It's nothing over the top. It's not going to be very long. That's all that I have for us. And more so, I really would like to pray over us and pray for the Lord for that, that we can receive, be obedient, and receive the favor and the freedom that is from God. Is that all right? Okay. With that, I just want to say that Shofar was birthed out of prayer. We're a praying church. The plan was never to start a church or a church movement. The plan was just to pray in Stellenbosch because God put a whole lot of people together to pray. I think it was about 15 people that the Lord brought together to pray. And I would really, really, really like to encourage you to slot into that. If you want the breakthrough that God has for you, there's a place where we need to climb on our knees and start seeking God. That's where it's going to start. And out of that place, God will be able to come and bless us and speak to us and lead us. So just as a little nugget, because we shofar, God works corporately together So individually, it's going to work the same. So because God's called you into this vein, into this DNA, this part of the church, our strong way of working is through prayer. See, a church like Hillsong across the road, they're great at encouragement. That's what they do. They encourage. Look, if you go to Hillsong and you don't feel encouraged, then you were at the wrong Hillsong. You walk in that door. By the time you reach the entrance, you are so built up and encouraged. You had 15 people greet you, high five you. You feel like you can take on the world. You feel loved. You feel adored. That's their blessing that the Lord has for them. And the blessing that the Lord has for us is to be able to change things in the spirit through prayer. And it's something that we as the intercessors, brought two of my intercessors along this morning, are seeing in Cape Town. You see, don't tell anyone. You might want to cut this one out of the tape. We went up to Signal Hill, Shofar Century City, build on the foundation of the Lord in prayer. And we will see this nation change. There are a lot of prophecies over Cape Town. You guys know that. There's a lot of prophecies of South Africa. Do you guys know that? Has anyone heard any prophecies in the last year, 2 years about South Africa or Cape Town? The prophecies have stopped. Does it mean that God's not keen about doing something with us? No, not at all. But the truth is that lest we do what God called us to do, we're going to miss it as a nation. And what Shofar's called to do, what we call to do, is to sit in the inner room and say, Lord, we want this. So just that nugget, that if you really want to know what God has for you, go and sit at his feet and ask him. And persist until he answers. And then walk in obedience to what he shows. All right. Can I ask that we all stand this morning? Can the band come up, please? Lord, this morning we come before you. And we thank you, Lord, that it's not by power nor by might, but by your spirit. Lord, we thank you for. We thank you, Lord, that we can learn from the mistakes of Jonah. Lord, our heart is not to run, but our heart is to be obedient. And Lord, this morning I ask, Lord, that you will come and by your Spirit pour out that freedom and that favor for each one of us. We come and we put out our hands this morning. We say, Lord, we desire freedom. We desire your favor, Lord. Lord, we're reminded of Jabez, the prayer of Jabez, Lord, to enlarge our tent pegs. I pray, Lord, that you'll enlarge our tent pegs. Come and just build, Father God, your kingdom. We come and ask, Lord, that your will be done on earth, in Cape Town, as it is in heaven. Lord, we say we can't do it without you. We try and we fail. I pray, Lord, that you, by your Spirit, will come and call us, Lord. Not like Jonah, Lord, we had to be thrown into the ocean and swallowed up by a great fish. But that you will woo us by your Spirit and that you'll lead us and direct us in what you have for us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that everything we touch will be blessed. I pray for every business, Lord, every person that's here that works in a business, owns a business, is at home, a mother working at home, looking after the kids. I pray that it will be blessed, that the children will be godly children because of the obedience, Lord, that the businesses, Lord, will grow because of the obedience, Lord, but that people will not see us, but that they will see Christ. I pray that people will see Jesus manifest in our lives. And Lord, we ask for deliverance. Lord, that you will deliver us from evil. Lord, there's so many things in our lives that cause us to fall away from you. There's so much of us that lives in us. And we pray that that us, that me, will die inside, and that Christ will stand up. Lord, we pray for the revelation of Paul, Lord, where he starts in the beginning of his ministry, and he says that he's the least of the apostles. But by the time he dies, he realizes by grace that he's the least of all saints. We pray for that revelation, Lord, to come and serve, to come and give, to put others above ourselves. Lord, even the homeless, even the guy in the corner office that irritates us, Lord, even the boss that always is beating on us and being wrong and unfair, we thank you that your heart is for them. We pray that you'll use us as an instrument to give them Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. We're going to sing one more song.